The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. Ryan and Wheels with you in studio. We are not going to be alone over the next 3 hours. Oh, no. We have guests stacked on guests stacked on guests. If we, like, we are rappers and our guests are money. Stacks upon stacks upon stacks. Of course, I want to start with USA Hockey. Ryan Donato, awesome again. The rest of the team, not so much. Adios, la bye-bye. USA not moving on to the medal round. And they would have had they won yesterday, last night. They win last night, they go to semifinals, which means they're guaranteed a medal game. So even though it was the quarterfinals, they would have played for a medal had they won last night. And they didn't. And look, there's a million reasons for it. Their power play was garbage. If we can't rely on Troy Terry to score a shootout goal, nobody's going to score a shootout goal. I thought that one of the worst things that happened to the U.S. team last night was the fact that after one overtime, they go to a shootout because they dominated that overtime period without scoring. And I feel like they would have played more hockey instead of gone to a skills competition than the U.S. would have won. Okay, whatever. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I get all that. But now we have to turn our attention back to the decision by Gary Bettman and the NHL to not allow their athletes to compete. Now, the U.S. had played for a medal in the last two Olympics and three of the last four games. If you remember, the 2010 gold medal game was the most watched hockey game in 30 years at the time. It outdrew the Rose Bowl, the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, the Daytona 500, and the most watched game of both the NBA Finals and World Series. Plus, they got that little halo effect because that year's Stanley Cup Final was the highest rated Stanley Cup Final in years. So, we have seen there's empirical evidence that shows that the NHL gets a boost from the Olympics. And when the NHL houses, what, not 85%? I don't know the percentage. All but like six teams in the NHL call the United States home. And the United States is not participating. There are no Avalanche players. There are no Blackhawks players, there are no Rangers players. All of these fan bases don't get to see their NHLers compete for a medal, and even then they weren't going to see any of their players compete for a medal because the NHLers weren't even there. Now, I'm not going to play revisionist history and say that I was for NHLers going. I was not. I love the whenever a sport can remain amateur in a lot of ways. And that team was not amateur. But that's why I wanted all the college players to be in, because I wanted a team full of college players. But the idea is, I wasn't against Gary Bettman's decision. But I knew that if the U.S. did not go to a medal game, which they had the previous two Olympics, that Gary Bettman would deserve to be criticized or second-guessed. And if you're saying, well, we don't know that the U.S. would have even made it, you don't think that a team that could be largely intact from 2014 or even 2010 for a lot of guys, plus Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, Johnny Hockey, You don't think that they could have played for a medal, if not a gold medal? I think most certainly they could have. And with Gary Bettman, his motivation behind it, I get part of the reason. Like, I'm not saying that Gary Bettman was out of his mind when he made this decision, because the IOC refused to fund NHL players going over there. So the NHL would have to foot the bill for their players going over to South Korea. Also, you would be losing a month of the season. Either you would be interrupted or you would completely lose it because you'd shorten the season. I don't know how that would necessarily work. They've done it different ways in the past, but so I understand. And Pyeongchang is not, you know, a prime location. They were playing at the third period began at midnight Eastern time. A lot of their games were at 5 a.m. here on in the Mountain Time Zone. So I understand that when the NHL weighed everything, that maybe it didn't make the most sense. But again, that doesn't mean that it was the right decision in the end, just because you can see their line of thinking. I mean, Mark Lazarus of NBC even acknowledged that, yeah, ratings are way down for Olympic hockey because the NHLers are not there. So with a sport that is trying to, you know, keep its hold as the fourth major, a lot of people think that college football has far surpassed hockey. And even if you just take the four major professional sports, a lot of people believe that the NBA is light years ahead of the NHL, and Major League Baseball and the NFL are as well. So there's that side of it too, that a league that's kind of constantly fighting for its place in the American viewing landscape, to not have your players over there should be looked at as perhaps a mistake. Now, they win last night, then I don't know that we're having this conversation. But they did lose. And that's the way these kind of things work. Now joined by the man, the face of Colorado Springs' television home of the Winter Games, as Grant Meech from KOAA5 joins us now. Best thing that you have seen over these couple of weeks in the Olympics, other than the speed skating uniforms?
Well, I wasn't even going to go put the speed skating uniforms in there, but now that you mention it, why not? I thought that Steve Mazur winning the first men's individual luge medal in the history of American luge was pretty cool. I saw, what else did I see that was cool? Mirai Nagasu, who does train in Colorado Springs.
That's right.
And attends UCCS, landing the triple axel. I did not see it, but I was told that it was cool. Going with it being cool. What else did I see? Also, Jesse Diggins winning a gold medal this morning in cross country. Did not see it, but heard about it. Several cool things going on. Last night's men's hockey game, not cool. That was not cool. That was the opposite of cool, whatever that would be.
If Grant Meech was able to game the system in any sport other than curling, but when you went, you actually had to participate. Like, you had to try tricks. You have to actually try to do a triple axel if you choose figure skating. What Olympic sport would you actually go and participate in if you could cheat the system and qualify for an Olympics?
Right now, speaking to you, I would go with ice dancing, clearly. If you gave me time, money, and energy to train, bobsledding. Because I'm about the same height and weight requirements of a lot of the bobsledders. I'd have to get in better shape. But they're all 6 foot. They're over 200 pounds. They're all big, sculpting, hulking dudes. You know, you throw a speed suit on me, a little helmet action, I could sneak by.
Many of you remember our next guest. For one reason or another, many of you remember him for his terrific college career and preceding NBA career. Of course, won a national title with UCLA. And many of you will know him for his post-basketball life, where he challenged the NCAA to get college athletes fair compensation for use of their likeness. And now he has chronicled both his basketball career and his fight against the NCAA in the new book, Court Justice, The Inside Story of My Battle Against the NCAA. Ed O'Bannon joins me now. Ed, good to talk to you. How are you today?
Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, it is my pleasure. For somebody that battled the NCAA for a while and knows how they kind of work, I'm interested to get your perspective on the denial of Louisville's appeal and now the national championship being vacated.
That's too bad. It's too bad for the kids, for the players. Those are the ones who I feel bad for. Because they worked extremely as hard as they could to get that banner, to raise that banner, to earn those rings, and to earn the title national champion. And every time they from here on out, every time they are introduced as a team and possibly individually, it'll be national champ with a star next to their names. You know, and I think that's too bad. And in all honesty, that is where my focus is solely and totally on those kids.
I find the anecdote you have near the beginning of the book, obviously the kind of genesis of this, is that you're at a friend's house and you notice that his son is playing one of these NCAA college basketball games, and you look on the screen, and I can't even imagine what this moment was like for you, to see basically a video game version of yourself. Do you think if that moment would not have happened, and then Sonny Vaccaro calls you, do you think that you would have accepted everything that came after it, or do you think that you would have told Mr. Vaccaro that thanks but no thanks?
That's a great question, and one I've never gotten. I don't know. I don't know. That's a great question, because I know I jumped at this opportunity because I had recently saw my avatar on the video game, and I was fired up, by the way. I was extremely excited to see my, my image on the video game initially. I thought it was actually pretty cool. But I don't know. I would like to think that I would have. Let me say that. I would like to think that I would have jumped at this opportunity, whether I saw my avatar or not.
What's the biggest misconception out there about your motivations or anything else related to it?
I think one of them is that this was a money grab, that I jumped at this opportunity because I thought that I would get paid. Another one is that I'm a former player, disgruntled former, broke former player, that sort of thing, and just mad at the world and wants to take the college athletics down with me, that sort of thing. I think those are at least two of the misconceptions. That's fine. I don't know what to say to that.
When you sit down with John King, the lawyer who was leading up this case initially, and he laid out all the bad things that could happen, right? Your name's going to get dragged through the mud. Maybe your just the O'Bannon name, your brother, your parents, your wife, your kids. When he's laying out all these things to you, why did you decide that, you know what, I'm even in the face of this, I want to take up this mantle. I want to do this.
I've always felt that this was bigger than me. This was bigger than protecting some of the most precious things in my life. I felt like because I walked in these shoes, because I was a student athlete at one time, or an athletic student, however you want to call me, I felt that rules needed to change. And this was my one opportunity to facilitate that. And I just, you know, this the NC2A and their rules, their petty rules, and everything about them just kept flying in my face up until that point. And you know, my wife and I are firm believers in everything happens for a reason. And I just felt like this opportunity presented itself because I was probably the right person to do it. So that's how I attacked it. You know, I felt like it was just the right thing to do.
What do you think that the legacy of your lawsuit will ultimately be?
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe that will be it. Maybe this was the precursor to everything that will come. I don't know. That's a tough one for me to answer because I don't know how people will perceive me once 20 years from now or where the game will be 20 years from now. Maybe nothing in 20 years. Maybe nothing. Absolutely nothing changes, and this will just be a blip in everyone's life. I don't know. Time will tell. But what I do know is I'm happy that we did what we did, and I'm happy to have worked with the people that I work with, all the lawyers and Mr. and Mrs. Vaquero. They were sweet and a blessing to work with. And, you know, my family is good, so I have absolutely no complaints.
Court Justice, the inside story of my battle against the NCAA. Ed, I thoroughly enjoyed reading your book, and hopefully we'll get a chance to speak on down the road, but really appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Just two weekends remain in the regular season, and the Colorado College Tigers are just 4 points back of North Dakota for a home series in the conference tournament. They'll look to make up ground in Omaha this weekend. Joining us now is the head coach of the Tigers, Mike Haviland. Mike, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you, Ryan?
Doing well. How did this weekend against DU compare to other weekends in terms of, I guess, primarily the emotion that went into this weekend?
I think it was the same. I think we had guys were, focused and ready to go. We had a chance to, win the gold pan, and I think it was, the emotions were there. They were high. They were, come Friday, mentally we made a lot of mistakes, and they capitalized. I mean, I thought they played an extremely, good game here in our building, and I thought I was really impressed the way we responded after Friday night, and then I thought we did a great job up there. So the emotions were still there. I think the intensity was still there in both games, and you don't have a chance on Saturday for the goal pan. I really liked our response in going up there and getting a win.
Yeah, and Saturday I was going to mention your team does what it's been doing all year. You're now 7-2 following a loss. I mean, what does that say about your team's, not only their mental makeup, their ability to bounce back, but also their ability to make adjustments?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it is about adjustments. It's about, watching film and actually seeing ourselves, whether it's a compete issue or it's a system issue that maybe we weren't very good the night before. And most of the part, to be honest with you, Ryan, I haven't minded us on Friday night. I know the record isn't as great, but you know, they're small little things that maybe we made some mistakes. There's a couple games that I don't like, but for the most part, it's usually a couple little things that we need to tweak or to make adjustments to, and they've taken those adjustments and applied them, and you know, I love that attitude of, you know, they're not happy about things if they don't work out on Friday night, and it's that, you know, that attitude of, you know, we're not going to sit here and just be okay with getting swept, and you know, so it's a whole different attitude than we've ever had here, to be honest with you, since I've been here, and you know, and them applying those adjustments that we give them has been outstanding.
You look at the record of Omaha and you say, all right, on paper, this is a game, this is a series that the Tigers should do well in. And then you say, oh, wait, they have David Pope. So there's always, you know, there's always that chance that Omaha can beat anybody in the conference, just like we talk about with you guys. You can beat anybody in the up and down lineup. Where is David Pope most dangerous on the ice?
Well, I think he's outstanding on the power play and you know, up top on that on his off on his one timer side. I mean, he's got a tremendous release. He's a very, very good hockey player. You know, he kind of gets lost in the offensive end a little bit. You know, with where he knows where to go and the puck finds him and you know, that's a sign of a good hockey player when you can kind of get lost in that offensive end and then all of a sudden it's on and off his stick. So he's a very good hockey player. This is a dangerous, dangerous hockey team. This is a team that's 11-3-1 at home. You know, they're very good on Friday nights. They're 7-1 at home on Friday nights. You know, so they score over 4 goals a game. They have a lot of potential. It's just not David Pope. So, I mean, you know, you're looking at a team that just split with North Dakota at home. And you know, so, again, it's this conference that, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You have to prepare the right way. You mentally have to be ready to go because anybody can beat anybody.
Did you happen to watch the U.S. and Czech Republic last night?
I did.
Yeah, and what were your takeaways from that?
Well, I mean, you know, again, you look at their power play, you know, didn't finish. You know, I think, you know, it was a shame that, you know, I didn't want to see them go down like that. I don't like the shootout, you know, to decide, you know, quarterfinals or games that move on to medal rounds, but that's what it is. And, you know, it was unfortunate, but, you know, I thought the college guys, you know, that played extremely well in the whole tournament, and you know, it was sad to see them go down. I would have liked to seen, you know, Tony and his whole staff and the group move forward, and you know, I was rooting for them for sure.
I'm glad that you said that about the shootouts. I'm not a huge fan, and I know in your conference we have those too, but it's obviously a little bit different circumstance with the way that those are weighted. But I look at that game and I say, if they played another overtime period, I think we got them.
Yeah, and I agree. And it's tough to lose, you know, in the shootout to move on. You know, I'd rather see them continue to go. And I mean, it is the rules and that's what it is. But, you know, you think about like the NCAA, you know, I think they continue to play overtimes until there's a winner. And I think you deserve that when you get to that level and into the medal rounds and maybe in the to get into the medal rounds. I think it should be 5-on-5 and playing it out. You know, but again, you know, it was sad to see them go down in the shootout, but that's obviously what they play.
Very little time, so I can't think of anything better to do than to wish Wheels a happy birthday. It's Wheels' birthday tomorrow. He'll be 16, and he's looking very much forward to getting his driver's license tomorrow. He will be out. So enjoy your birthday, Wheels. Many happy returns, and we'll see you back here on Friday. For the rest of you, back here at 3 tomorrow.